We got no food. We got no jobs. Our pets' heads are falling off.
Hey, what's up? It's the Huff. Hope you're having a great morning. Hopefully no pets' heads are falling off today. God, that's a horrible image. I'm sorry I brought it up. Boy, things got real serious on the Da Huff Uncensored podcast. On a very special Da Huff Uncensored podcast, pets' heads, they're falling off. And we give it to little Billy down the lane, who's blind, and we put duct tape around the head. It's kind of a jacked-up scene from Dumb and Dumber. Kind of a jacked-up scene. And if you've seen the second one, Dumb and Dumber 2, it's even funnier what they do to Billy in 4C. Anyway, hope you guys are having a great day. A lot to get into. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Don't forget, today's show is presented to you by the great people over at Sugar Fire in Westminster, a great place to go grab some barbecue. Also, a good place to go is Jad's Mile High Smoke. And, of course, Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for the NBA and NHL playoffs this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to their online casino and get in on the game of blackjack or poker, or you could even unwind with one of their over 150 slots. They got, if you go to, the butcher, head on over to betonline.ag right now. Get in on all the action. Don't forget to use promo code BLEAV, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts. Oh boy, I am stupid. Oh, you know what's good? Jumping into some headlines.
Let's go! Let's go!
And now, here are the headlines.
Where do you think the shark attack capital of the world is? I was actually surprised by this. I was thinking it was Australia. It's not Australia. It's in the United States. Where? It's Florida. Florida is the shark attack capital of the world. That's according to a report from the state's Museum of Natural History and Florida University, with the area around Daytona Beach having the highest concentration of attacks anywhere, which I believe is well into the 300s. They started taking documentation of shark attacks throughout the world back in 1837. That's when the recordings began. And since then, and I'm going to give you the United States stats first. Florida has had 928 attacks since 1837. Hawaii, this is second place. Florida is 928. This is U.S. stats at first. So 928 for Florida, Hawaii, 195, California, 138, South Carolina, 118, Colorado, zero, because we're landlocked, dummy. Some of you are like, wait, Colorado? No way. No, we haven't. But it's not out of the question. Here's the thing. Don't you kind of want to be I know this is so wrong. Don't you kind of want to be the person that, like, you're at an aquarium and somehow you fall in and you get attacked? And then you're that one. It's unprovoked, okay? I accidentally tripped and fell into the aquarium. Now I'm the one guy in Colorado that's been attacked by a Colorado existing shark. And everybody would look you up. They're like looking through the stats because there's a bunch of them, the bunch of states that are just like one or two. They're like, holy shit, Colorado, it's landlocked. Then they pull up your picture and you're like, hi, I'm dumb. I fell into an aquarium. So that's fascinating though, Florida. Another reason why I don't want to go to Florida. You got crocodiles, which by the way, crocodiles are just horrible. I want to say since 1948, there's been over 450 alligator bites in the state of Florida, and 30 of those have been fatal. Like, Florida, why would anybody want to go to Florida? You can't go in the water. You can't walk around on the land. By the way, two of those attacks, I don't know if it was deaths, might have been two of those deaths in Florida by alligator are from people running from the law. Don't run from the law. Don't. Not a good idea, because you could get ate by a gator. Can't. I've had gator, by the way. Delicious. Delicious. But isn't that fascinating with the Florida having the most shark attacks? Now, throughout the world, Australia is number two with 706 attacks. South Africa, 262. So they're saying Australia as a whole is 706. Florida, the state of Florida, is 928. That's wild. Now, in 2023, just last year, the shark file documented 69 unprovoked shark bites on humans worldwide. So, as a whole, last year, there were 69 shark attacks in the world. Of those attacks, 36 or 52%, so just over half of them, happened in U.S. waters. United States didn't realize it was such a hotbed for shark attacks. I think I told some of you guys this. Right before we had kids, my wife and I were visiting my brother who lives in the Sydney area of Australia, New South Wales. Beautiful place. If you ever get a chance to visit, especially there, because that's where I visited, so I can verify the info. It's a good place. People are so nice, amazing people, amazing food, and it's just a great experience. So I suggest if you're ever able to go to the Sydney area, go. Definitely worth your time. Might be a little expensive. That's the only reason we haven't been out there since. Because we got four people. I volunteer all the time to my wife and kids. I say, you know what? Daddy will go out to Australia and visit Uncle Chris and his family. You guys stay here. We can FaceTime. It's fine. The heck? I don't know why they push back on it. Dad, that's not fair. Honey, that's not fair. Boy, they're selfish, aren't they? Right? It's all about them. All about them. But before we had kids, we were visiting Australia, and we went up the coast, and I can't remember exactly where we ended up, but we rented a beach house. And we decided one day, let's go kayaking. I had never gone kayaking, neither had my wife. My brother and his wife had several times. And at the time, they had two small kids. So they're like, let's go kayaking. So we go and rent some kayaks, and we're in this bay. And we go rent the kayaks. One thing that is very important is I put on my life vest. And my wife looks at me and she's like, you look like a exploding sausage casing. Like, you know, those, you know, you get those like bratwurst where they're kind of splitting open. You're like, that's disgusting looking. That's essentially what she said to me. And she said, let me loosen up your life vest. Okay. Very important to remember that key fact. So the guy's like, hey guys, whatever you do, don't cut across the bay. Go ahead and hug the coast and go right around. You'll be fine. Like, okay, cool. So we get in the water. Again, never been on a kayak before. So I get in there and I'm like, oh my God, like trying to keep my balance. And then my brother and his wife just like, they completely ignored what the tour guide said. And they just start cutting across the bay. And I'm like, ah, what the heck? You know, we're in Australia. I'll follow them. I believe I did shout out at one time, but onto deaf ears of like, didn't he say we should hug the coast? I'm pretty sure. Anyway, so we start going, and immediately we're like not even halfway through the bay, and it's already looking like this was a bad idea. My wife is close behind me, and she said, I don't feel comfortable doing this. I'm going to turn around and head back. She said, are you going to come with me? And I'm like, you know what? And I'm looking at the beautiful landscape, just so gorgeous out there. And I'm like, you know what? No, I'm going to go through this. I'm going to leave my wife behind. Hindsight, dumb idea. So she turns around. She's like, okay, I'm headed back. And then I'm going. And again, I'm still trying to figure out not to move my butt too much so I don't topple over. Also keep in mind, especially at this time, I am a shitty, shitty swimmer. At the time, I don't think I could actually float by myself. Now, I'd be a lot more comfortable in the water, partly because of this moment. So we're in the middle of the bay now. At one point, I look back and I'm like, I thought my wife was going back. She's like still, you know, slightly behind me. That was weird. So all of a sudden, this speedboat goes right in front of us. And the wake from the speedboat knocks me over because I don't know how to keep my balance very well. I topple over and I pop out of it, flip my kayak back on, and I'm trying to get back on. And I don't know the technique. Also, keep in mind, my life vest is now loose. So it's instead of being snug on me and keeping me more afloat and keeping my chest more afloat, it's almost over my head. Still attached to my body, but barely. And I'm like trying to get back in, can't figure out how to get back in. I'm weak as a kitten. I'm trying to get back in. And I'm like, what in the hell is, what am I going to do? Because these waters are dark, dark, guys. And my brother hears me start to scream. I'm like, Chris, help me. And he's like, stay calm. And I'm trying to figure out how to get back up. And I can't. I just can't. At one point, I remember looking at my hand because I had one hand up on the kayak and my other hand was in the water. I could not see my hand in the water because the water was so dark. Holy shit. I am just so freaking out right now. Don't know what to do. Can't get back in. All of a sudden, I hear a boat coming. And now keep in mind real quick, before I forget, my brother had his son, who at the time was roughly about 10 years old. He was riding with my brother because they had a double seat. My sister-in-law also had a dual, but she had her, now maybe my brother's son was like 6, that's what it was. And then my sister-in-law had her daughter with her, who was about 2 years old, on a dual. And the tour guide comes out there. He has my wife in tow because she got caught in the current and she was trying her best to go back to shore, but she couldn't. She was actually going backwards. I laugh now. And he's like, all right, Scott, stay calm. What I need to do is have you toss me your kayak. And I'm like, okay, here you go. He puts it on his boat and he's like, all right, Scott. And I'm trying to climb up. He's like, whoa, Mike. Go get in the kayak with Lexi. I'm like, no, I don't want to. He's like, Scott, this is what you need to do. I'm like, he's like, there's not enough room on here. I'm like, bullshit. He was probably trying to put the moves on my wife. That's probably what happened, the fucking dick. Anyway, so I'm like, I'm trying to calm down. So my sister-in-law's like, yeah, that's fine. She used to row in school and stuff. Like, she's really, really athletic and stuff like that. So I end up getting on the kayak with my sister-in-law and her 2-year-old daughter. And I am freaking the fuck out even more now. Because, one, when I was in that water, which, by the way, was roughly 10 minutes of me sitting in the water, one, I was freaking out for that because, like, what if something hit my leg? What if a shark bumped me? I would have defecated right there. Are they attracted to feces? I need to know this. So that was already a traumatizing for me. Now I'm on the kayak with a 2-year-old and my sister-in-law, and I'm like, I don't want to tip this thing over again. So I'm in front, and my sister-in-law, Lexi's like, okay, Scott, I need you to listen up. She took control. She just took charge. She's like, I'm going to yell out left or right, and then that tells you which side you need to be paddling on. Left, left, right, right, or whatever, okay? Then if I say break, hold it up out of the water, okay? I'm like, sure. And the whole time I'm like, I'm doing it. And I am panicking the whole time, as in deep inside, I am freaking the fuck out that I'm going to tip this over with my 2-year-old niece in there and my sister-in-law. Didn't happen. She, like I said, my sister-in-law managed the situation perfectly, and we got back to shore. And it was one of those things where as soon as my feet hit the sand, and we all just like hugged, because it was one of those moments, because we found out later, shark infested. Okay. There's plenty of great whites that like to hang out there and just chomp on people's feet. Apparently, you know, there's plenty of sharks in that area. Whether they attack you is one thing or not. Although, did you see that lady the other day that just got ate whole by a shark? Oh my God. While her friends watched. Super scary. To the point now where if I think about that moment too much, especially in the water, when I'm in the water hanging on to my kayak because I can't figure out how to get back in, and I can't get back in because of the life vest and all that other shit, I get these like moments of like my whole body will shiver and tighten up because I'm having like a flashback to that moment. It was fucking scary as shit. And I just, I've swam with dolphins before, and just the feeling of when one of those brushes up against you and the fear, just pure power of them, and they're just being gentle and playing with you. I just remember that feeling from when I did that to that. And if I would have felt that, I don't even know. Like it's so horrifying. I almost died. So fuck off. Okay. Oh man, that was scary. So scary. Anyway, don't go to Florida. It's a horrible place where you can get ate, whether it's on land or sea. Okay. Fucking Florida. Horrible. And apparently parts of Australia. If you go into the bay, listen to the tour guide that says, don't cut across the bay. Hug the coast. Moving away from attacks, Nicki Minaj is threat. This is 2 episodes in a row. Wow, congratulations. We're talking about Nicki Minaj. I don't know one song of hers. Nicki Minaj threatens to fire her tour DJ for signing a fan's boobs. What's the big deal? Come on. I guess there's some picture of him signing. It's not even like her nipples out. It's just like the top part of her. She has larger breasts, but he's just signs the, you know, the beef of it, I guess you could say. And he signed it. I don't see what the big deal is. He's keeping the fans happy. I've never got to sign somebody's boobs. Guys, if you want me to sign your boobs, I'll sign your boobs, okay? Next time I see you, okay? I guess ladies too, but let's be honest. No lady's going to want me to sign their boobs. It's going to be dudes. They're like, sign my boobie, man. All right. As they're drinking a beer. It did make me think about when I worked at the radio station. I was handing out t-shirts one day, and this guy pulls up in his semi-truck. And I don't think he had a trailer attached, but it was a yellow semi-truck. And he's like, hey, DeHuff, can you sign my truck? And I'm like, yeah, that's cool. And I signed it. I don't think the marker was very good. That's the only thing I remember is I wasn't happy with the signature. And I signed it. I was like, that's probably the coolest thing I've signed, I guess. I signed the very first time I signed an autograph was some dude's sweater. And I was at Dave and Buster's in Westminster. And this guy comes up and he's like, hey, Duff, huge fan. We're talking, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, hey, would you sign this for me? And it's this Broncos sweatshirt. And he has all these signatures from, like, let's say, like Carl Mecklenburg, Simon Fletcher, Steve Atwater, who knows? Just a bunch of Bronco players on there. Then he wants my signature on there. I'm like, are you sure? Absolutely. Keep in mind, I've never signed clothing before. I didn't know there was a technique. The technique is when you sign clothing, you're supposed to put your elbow of your non-writing hand, your elbow on it, pulling it, and then your other part of your hand pulling up, so you're making it tight, and then you can sign it. I didn't do that. I didn't know that was a thing. So he has this really cool sweater with all these cool Bronco signatures, and then there's mine where it looks like a four-year-old got a hold of a marker and started writing on his shirt. I was like, oh, sorry. I also signed a doctor's prescription pad once. I was in the doctor's office, wasn't feeling good, and one of the nurses, she's like, hey, by the way, my husband's a huge fan of yours. Can I get your autograph for him? I was like, sure. I had a fever. I'm like, absolutely. I put something like, I hope you're all balls, duh-huff. Something like that. So I signed a prescription pad. I thought that was kind of cool. Kind of cool. I don't know if I'd ever do this. I posted this on my Twitter and Facebook account. Have you guys seen that cheese race in the UK? It's on Cooper's Hill in Gloucestershire. I don't know if I said that right, but it's their annual cheese race. Here's the play-by-play courtesy of the BBC.
We are underway in the Gloucestershire Cheese Roll 2024. High-vis jacket in the middle's looking good. He slides on his knees. Oh, there's someone going down the right, which is all sorts of limbs in no particular order. It's the high-vis, I think. Straight through the middle. Takes it.
It's so funny that they have somebody doing play-by-play. He did a good job. It's like 16 seconds. And they have different brackets of racing, whether it's, you know, a male adult bracket, they have younger kid bracket, they have a female bracket, stuff like that. So there's multiple winners. And if you don't know, they have this like this roll of cheese that they drop down this very steep hill and people go run after it. And I don't think you have to catch it. I think it's the first person to cross the finish line wins. I'm watching that and I'm like, there's no freaking way I could do that. Like, especially now, if I did that, it's just, you know, the only way that I could do that is if I was sponsored by bubble wrap and they wrap me head to toe. And then it's just like, I have somebody just shove me, and whether I make it down the hill or not, I don't know. I think eventually, no matter what, you would make it down the hill. Because it is so steep. But if I tried that now without anything, my I would snap a leg, an arm. I might even die. How dumb would you look if that's how you died? How'd Scott die? Well, he's chasing a big wheel of cheese down a hill in the United Kingdom. Oh, just the way he always wanted to go. So bizarre. How dumb. If I die, I don't plan on it. Don't plan on it. I plan on living forever, which would be awful to live forever. But anyway, when I go, I hope it's nothing stupid. I hope it's nothing stupid. Ideally, it's like saving a bunch of people. That would be ideal, right? You go out a hero trying to save people from something. I don't know. I don't want to be like, what? How did he die? He peed on an electric fence. Oh, my God. What an idiot. What an idiot. How did he die? He slipped and fell and stabbed himself in the eye with a spork at Taco Bell. Yeah. So dumb. What a dumb way to die. Also, I'm watching that, and it's this wheel of cheese that they're chasing, and it just reminded me of that scene from Anchorman.
You know I don't speak Spanish. In English, please. Huh? You pooped in the refrigerator. And you ate a whole wheel of cheese? How'd you do that? It's actually, I'm not even mad. That's amazing.
I'm not even mad. That's amazing. Hey, speaking of amazing, Sugar Fire in Westminster, just a great place to grab some barbecue. They're off 144th and Orchard Parkway, right next to Snooze. And I suggest you follow them on Instagram and Facebook, @SugarFireWestie. They're always posting their daily specials, just great entrees. They're also talking about how you can get Sugar Fire in Westminster to cater your next family event, whether it's a graduation party, a wedding, a birthday, or maybe even a meeting at work. Either way, Sugar Fire in Westminster has the best catering menu I've ever seen. It's so freaking amazing. So good. You know, you eat something from Sugar Fire and your body just kind of goes weak a little bit. And you're just like, oh, God, that's so good. But also, whether maybe you don't want to do catering or you don't have a need for it right now, that's okay. Just stop on by. Like I said, 144th and Orchard Parkway. They have amazing entrees. I personally love to go in there and get a burger, but they have also different sandwiches, whether it's a brisket dip, which is phenomenal. I suggest you get that. I suggest you get anything on the menu. It's all good. But they do daily smoked meats, like smoked brisket, smoked wings, smoked turkey. They got, ribs and like I said, burgers that are just going to make your face melt with deliciousness. It's so good. They also have amazing sides. You're not a good barbecue joint if you don't have amazing sides. Sugar Fire in Westminster has amazing sides, whether it's their cheese garlic mashed potatoes with house-made garlic herb cream cheese. They also got brisket chili, which is just phenomenal. And let's see, they also, I like this one. I like them all, but this one, I just love hash browns. And they have hash brown casserole with cheesy shredded potatoes with peppers, onions, cherry tomatoes, and a variety of smoked meat. It's so freaking good. There's so many things. I could go on and on and on. It's just so good. You got to tell me what you get when you go to Sugar Fire in Westminster. Hit me up, dehuffpodcast@gmail.com, or hit me up on my socials at dehuffpodcast. There's so many great things to try there. You just can't go wrong. And it's kind of fun when you go in there, you try something new. Or if you're out there on a date, because it's a great place for a date night, have your significant other get one thing and you get another, then you guys kind of, trade off eating. Unless they're one of those people that don't like to share their food. And if that's the case, I'm just saying, there are a lot of divorce lawyers out there. I'm just saying. You need somebody that shares your food. And what a better place to go share some food than at Sugar Fire in Westminster. So freaking good. Sugar Fire is by far, like I said, my favorite barbecue joint in the state of Colorado. It's family friendly, great for date night. And like I said, they do an amazing job with catering. Check out Sugar Fire in Westminster. They're off 144th and Orchard Parkway, just east of Huron. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook at Sugar Fire Westie. Go to their website if you want to check them out there, sugarfiresmokehouse.com. It's Sugar Fire in Westminster, reinventing barbecue every single day. Speaking of being innovative, Jad's Mile High Smoke is the only licensed cannabis bar in the state of Colorado. It works like an alcohol bar, but it's for cannabis. So you can go there. You can buy up to an ounce of flower or 8 grams of concentrate. You can consume what you want on site and then take the rest home. It's so cool. Like I said, they got flower, pre-rolls, concentrates, and edibles, and they provide everything you need to consume it with. So roll up to the bar, have a seat, say, what do you got going on today? And, they'll give you this wide variety of options. It's so nice. And they're, I guess it would be bartenders or bud tenders. I don't know if they have a special name for them. They're all friendly as snot. They're so great over there. But they know everything there is to know about their products and can help you and guide you to what the best experience might be. It's so cool. They also have 7 big screen TVs so you can watch your favorite sporting event. Maybe you want to host a watch party there. It's really neat. You can also, if you just want to go hang out, they got Nintendo Switches available to rent. They got tons of free board games, playing cards, coloring books, dominoes to choose from. They even have a quarter arcade with pinball machines, vintage Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, and more. If I see you over there at Jad's and I got a pocket full of quarters, I'm going to beat you at Street Fighter. I love that game. Love that game. It's a very cool place to go hang out. Jad's Mile High Smoke is open daily from noon to 10. Happy hour runs from noon to 4:20. Tuesdays is industry day, and anyone with an MED employee badge gets 15% off all day. Very cool. Jad's Mile High Smoke is just 9 minutes from Coors Field and open noon to 10. You got to be at least 21 or older to consume. No outside product. Just buy it there. Jad's is at 7667 Washington Street. Just GPS to Jad's. Have you guys noticed on Google they have that new AI-powered search engine? And I don't necessarily like it, because you can already see where it has an objective, and it doesn't always... I like the way they did it before, where if I, you know, search, you know, my name, I'm always searching my name, Scott DeHuff, and then like nothing shows up. What are you doing, honey, in the bathroom? I'm just Googling myself. Well, anyway, Google is freaking out and they're scrambling to remove a wave of incorrect or even dangerous answers from its controversial AI-powered search results, including one answer that they shared on this post that advised users to eat rocks for nutrition. The AI falsely claimed that UC Berkeley geologists recommended eating at least one small rock per day. If kids weren't involved, this would be hilarious. And I would say, just let it work out, okay? Just let it go. But, you know, kids use Google now, and I don't want them to be harmed, because they're innocent to the world in a lot of things. But what happened was AI took that misinformation from a satire website. If you've ever heard of it, The Onion, they're hilarious. And I don't actually read any of their articles. I just look at their posts, and they're funny, right? It's just like everything is tongue-in-cheek, big-time tongue-in-cheek. And it took that information and put it as gospel. And it's like, come on, man. Which is so concerning. Like I said, if a grown-ass person is reading that and they're like, I should eat some rocks because apparently people at UC Berkeley said it's okay and I should at least eat one small rock a day. Part of me is just like, let it go. But since there's kids, no. And they're too naive to understand that it's a satire site. And there's obviously some people out there that have mental struggles and they might think it's real too. So that it's sad, but now that Google's got to go, oh, crap, we got to figure this out. People are going to get hurt. Because it's, you remember, if you're a label person, if you're somebody that needs those labels to tell you not to, you know, lick an electric fence or whatever, don't stick the shampoo bottle up your back end, don't drink the contents of a shampoo bottle. If you're one of those people, I mean, come on. You got to be rooting for a Google to change this, because you're gonna fall for it. What do you mean I shouldn't drink motor oil? It works on my car. It does remind me of a time that when I was producing Schlereth and Evans, and Mike Evans, one morning, he's like, hey, for the morning brew, we used to do a segment every morning at 6:30. I don't know if they still do it or not. But at 6:30 every morning, it would be four random stories from the world of sports. Didn't have to be just football or anything like that. So he would pick some stories and he'd send them to me in the morning, and then I would go find websites that were associated with them, so it would help enhance the segment. So he sends me one, and I'm like, I don't remember the story, but it was so bizarre. I'm like, no freaking way this is true. So I Google it, and I'm like, what is the story? And sure enough, it came from The Onion. And I was like, Mike, that's not a real website. He's like, oh, well, it looked real. I was like, it's satire, bro. It's satire. You dumb son of a bitch.
Right, as always.
I know, Ken. You can't fix stupid, am I right? All right. Hey, you know what we need to do right now? Jump into the mailbag.
Mailbag. You've got mail.
This comes in from frequent contributor Matt OFP. He said, we don't need history to rhyme. Nobody is asking for this. And then he has an article attached. It's talking about the Ohio billionaire Larry Connor, who is taking a $2 million sub down to the Titanic wreck site to prove the industry is safer after the Ocean Gate incident. If you guys remember, about a year ago, we had that Ocean Gate where I think it was called Titan, went down there and the sub imploded. It literally just collapsed on itself. And after a lot of, you know, studies and figuring it out, is because they cut a lot of corners. Despite being funded by a billionaire. So this is what's crazy. It says he will be joined by CEO of Triton Submarines, Patrick Laney. And Larry Connor told Wall Street Journal, I want to show people worldwide that while the ocean is extremely powerful, it can be wonderful and enjoyable and really kind of life-changing if you go about it the right way. And like I said, he's working with Patrick Leahy, the co-founder and CEO of submersible manufacturer Triton Submarines. And, I mean, literally, you hope it doesn't repeat itself. Matt said, we don't need history to rhyme. By the way, that's a quote from Mark Twain. History doesn't repeat itself, but it often rhymes. I had to Google that. I'm not smart like Matt. I'm not. Yeah, because it is very similar. I hope they use a better controller, because last time they were using like a PS2 controller. Maybe they decide to go big and get a Sega Genesis controller. Those things were nice. I like that. Big and bulky. It really felt like you had something in your hands. It did. That was like the first big purchase I ever made when I was a kid. Is I bought a Sega Genesis. I used to play Sonic the Hedgehog all freaking night. So cool. Listening to like my one CD on my individual CD player that was connected to my stereo. Boy, how things have changed. So crazy. Ocean Gate's problem was that they were being run and overseen by penny pinchers. You can't do that. You can't half-ass this. There's no need for this to happen. Although part of me is just like, I hope they do it and I hope they're successful. Because if they do it right, because they're trying to say that they're going to do it right, they're going to spend the money where it needs to be spent. And they're going to make something that is logical to go into that depth and experience that kind of pressure and come out successful. I hope they're successful. I would hate for another tragedy to happen out there. Okay? But it's not necessary. Nobody's requesting this. Nobody's like, God, you know what we need to do? We need another little sub to go down to the Titanic wreckage. That's what we need. We do. We so desperately need it. We don't. And I got to be honest, even if they go down there and it's successful, you know, say they do it 10 times, whatever, and they come up to me. I don't know why the hell they'd come up to me, but if they did come up to me and they're like, Scott, we'd like you to go down there, I'd be like, hey, why don't you go eat a bag of dicks? Don't want to do it. Don't need to do it. Don't see the point in doing that. I mean, it would be a great experience visually. Yes, I can't deny that, but I don't see the point in it. This, to go down there again, I guess it's trying to wipe away the stain of that nastiness of what happened before and how Ocean Gate just really, you know, fucked up. Everything that I've read says that they cut corners. Shit, man, like I'm joking about it, but they were controlling it with an old PlayStation controller. That's ridiculous. You can't do that stuff. You can't. The optics in hindsight were everywhere that this was a bad idea. If I see video of these guys getting ready to get in the water to test this out, and you see any like rinky dink information, like whether, you know, the optics of, you know, maybe they do have a controller, it's like a Nintendo Switch or some stupid shit like that, be like, okay, they're doomed to fail again. You don't need to be doing it. It might not be the similar way it happens, but Jesus, man, why tempt fate? And I know there's at least with this other company, it's a Triton is a submarine manufacturer. So it makes sense. And apparently they have a good track record. I can't imagine it failing, but I just don't see ultimately the point of it other than to scrub out that nastiness of Ocean Gate and move on from it and go, okay, it can be successful. It can be done. I'm not necessarily upset that they're doing it. I don't ultimately care. I will take notice of when the information comes out that they did it or are going to do it officially, what the days are, because there's going to be a lot of eyes on that. But I don't know. I don't understand why we always have to do shit like that. But that's also, it's like, it's when you're a billionaire, because that Larry Connor is a billionaire and he's just trying to figure out, what should I do with my money? What should I do? You know what I'll do? Because he's like a real estate guy. You're like, I'm going to talk with these guys over at this submarine company and let's go back down there. I have nothing else to do. What a great life that guy must have right now. He has set himself up to, you know, he's essentially going, you know what? I just want to spend my money wherever I can. Larry, you could also sponsor my podcast. Okay. I could just be DeHuff Uncensored presented by, and then Larry O'Connor, billionaire. I'll tell you how much I charge for a year, because that we're going to do a year. It's $1 million. Okay. It's fine. It's normal, right? It's normal. Those are good numbers. Think about it. Chew on it. Okay. I'll still have my other sponsors because they deserve it. They deserve it, or I deserve them because they're really good. I have some really good sponsors. I really do appreciate it. I got a new one in the barrel, essentially, and we'll start that here in a couple of weeks. Can't wait. Because we're going to do some videos with them, too. It involves me trying to get fit. I know. I need to tell them, be like, I don't want to get too buff, okay? I don't want to get huge and ripped. Let's just work on cardio. You know what I mean. You know. Hey, guys, I don't know if you know this, but I am ripped. No, I'm not. But it's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to do that. But, hey, thank you guys so much for listening to the show. Thanks for making this the number one comedy podcast in Colorado. It's so freaking nice to just have that in my back pocket. And obviously that's a big thanks to FeedSpot. Go check out FeedSpot. They're the ones that keep sending me the info saying, hey, congratulations, you're still number one in Colorado. So but that's really cool. Wasn't expecting it. I'm not, you know, I don't pay them. I know there's some people out there that do that. I don't pay for subscribers. I don't make you guys. I think that's weird, by the way. I think it's weird that there's podcasts out there that charge you to listen. They're like, oh, you're going to get exclusive content. Make sure you subscribe and then you have to pay. I'm like, whoa, that's weird. I don't understand that. I don't like that. So I try to make it free for you guys. And by doing that is, you know, with great sponsors that I have and more on the way that make it free for you is Sugar Fire in Westminster. They just bang out some amazing barbecue. Jad's Mile High Smoke, just making Jad's Mile High Smoke is really cool because if you think about it, their objective is just to make sure that you're having a good day. And you can go in there and just chill. That's cool. It's just a great place to hang out, and that's cool. That's why I like Jad's and Sugar Fire, and of course, Bet Online, where you can gamble money if you're really into it. I mean, hey, either way, it's all good. So thanks to all of them. Thanks to you guys for making this podcast what it is. Again, thanks to FeedSpot for you know, coming out with the data that says I'm the number one podcast in Colorado, comedy podcast in Colorado. There's some other ones out there that are really good too. Not the comedy ones. This one by far. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding to those guys that are in second and third place. I need to reach out to them and kind of just, you know, just befriend them. And then we can be this ultimate powerhouse. Powerhouse. And then we all go to the beach wearing Speedos. I don't know why I went down that avenue, but I did. I did. Hey, I don't know. Hey, Scott, you need to stop. Stop. Stop it now. All right. Thank you guys so much. Have an amazing day. Big thanks again to Sugar Fire in Westminster, as well as Jad's Mile High Smoke. And of course, Bet Online. Go to betonline.ag. It's DeHuff Uncensored. You guys have an amazing day. Let's continue to move forward. I'll talk to you next time.